Good morning. Today, Daf in Moi Katan is Dalad. We are in Gimel Amud Beis. We are about halfway down in the Amud. Last couple of days, since we began the new Masechta, so a lot of irrigation talk. The irrigation talk has to do with the fact that in Chol HaMoed, so under certain circumstances, limited circumstances, so you're allowed to irrigate your field. Irrigating your field, generally speaking, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov would be a malacha. Not generally. It is a malacha. It is a malacha under what category, under what av? So good, so hopefully you remember. That's a machlokas that we saw back on Beis Amud Beis between Rabba and Rav Yosef. According to Rabba, it's a malacha of Chorish. According to Rav Yosef, it's a malacha of Zareya. Regardless, watering under normal circumstances would be a malacha. Yet, on Chol HaMoed, so you're allowed to do so under limited circumstances. So the question becomes why? So the reason is because fundamentally, Chol HaMoed, so Malacha and Chol HaMoed is not as prohibited as it is on Yom Tov and on Shabbos. And so when the Chachamim are given certain abilities to create kulas for Malachas and Chol HaMoed. So we already saw that back in the beginning of the Masechta, Rashi and Tosfos, both the first Rashi and the first Tosfos make this point, that the Chachamim have room to be Mako. So what are their considerations? Their considerations are as follows. If we're looking at a hefset, if we're looking at pseida, if we're looking at loss, and as long as it's not a tirchiyasera, so they allow it. So beis hashlachim, those are fields that are up in the mountainous regions that are desperate for water, they're desperate for irrigation, and if you don't irrigate them, the fields that you're going to suffer a real loss. So under those circumstances, so one could water them. But you have to take tirchiyasera into account as well. In today's daf, we're going to be seeing a lot of that tirchiyasera, that if in fact it's going to be overexertion, so one is not allowed to do so. So what is considered overexertion? So we're going to try to wrap our heads around that. I'm admitting on the front end, it's going to be a little bit challenging for me because we're going to be talking about different water sources, and I'm only going to give you like my best guesses in terms of what we're trying to describe over here. But I get the basic idea, however. In other words, certain water sources are easier. Certain water sources are harder in order to obtain water. So when it becomes too hard, so it falls under the category of tirchiyasera. I got the basic idea. The details, you'll see, I'm going to struggle a little bit regarding the details. Good. So that's been our discussion since the beginning of the Masechta. We are now two dapim in. This is the third daf of the Masechta. Yesterday, so we took a little bit of a tangent, a little bit of a detour, and we discussed the Isser of Choresh on the Shemitah year. Okay, it happens to be right now, currently, we're in the Shemitah year. So are you allowed to plow the field? The answer is no. What degree of Isser are we talking about over here? That's a wonderful question. And that question was already raised going back to yesterday's daf. So yesterday's daf, we wanted to know that if you're Choresh, that if you do Charisha during the Shemitah year, are you going to be subject to Malkus, yes or no? So it's a Machlokus amongst the Amorim whether or not you're in fact going to be subject to Malkus. Some Amorim say yes, some Amorim say no. Okay, that was our discussion as of yesterday's daf. Included in that discussion is another discussion that we had going back to yesterday's daf and Gimel Amud Beis, and that is the Braisa of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he has with him somewhat of an obscure brisa. It's not obscure, but it's ambiguous. It's something having to do with Tosefos. I might have thought you're going to get Malkus on the Tosefos, but we have a drasha. You're not going to get Malkus. Okay, so what is he describing over here? So the first pshat, relevant to yesterday's daf, the pshat of Rav Elazar, is that Tosefos is talking about Choresh, meaning the pasuk itself does not mention Choresh. So Choresh is being taught, the prohibition of Choresh is coming to be taught al-yidei Tosefos, meaning it's an additional malacha. So one would think that you're going to get Malkus for it. You're not going to get Malkus for it. That's one pshat. That pshat is offered by Rav Elazar. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan gives a totally different pshat in the Rav Dimi Braisa. And right now, we're in the middle of the Rav Yochanan pshat. And so let's pick it up where we left off yesterday in terms of offering the pshat of Rav Yochanan and understanding what exactly we're making reference to over here. In order to understand the pshat of Rav Yochanan, so first of all, what does it mean, Tosefos? Tosefos means that we're actually going to be extending the Shemitah year. Shemitah year begins on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, ends on Rosh Chodesh, ends on the 29th day of Elul. Okay, in other words, like we learned back in Rosh Hashanah, and yet the Isurim of Shvius is already going to apply ahead of time, and quite frankly, also after the year is over as well. This is called being Mosif, right? You're familiar with it. We're all familiar with it because we have this idea regarding Shabbos. We have what's called Tosefos Shabbos. We also have what's called Tosefos Yom Kippurim. That we have to do is that we have to add on to the day of Yom Tov itself, or on to the day of Shabbos itself, and that's Tosefos. Similarly, over here, when it comes to the Shemitah year, so you have to add on as well. This is the idea behind Tosefos. Is it a din d'rabbanan? Is it a din d'oraisa? That's a wonderful question. That's what we're going to be addressing in fact, right now. So we quoted yesterday a Mishnah in Shviyas, not just any Mishnah, but the first Mishnah in Shviyas. And the first Mishnah in Shviyas says, Machlokes Beicham and Beisol, exactly when the Isser Chorish kicks in. But let's do the simple version of it, which is that it depends whether we're talking about a wheat field or we're talking about the orchard. As far as the wheat field is concerned, so or any grain field, right, the Steha Lavan, so the Isser Charisha begins the Pesach before the Shemitah year. That's 6 months ahead of time. A little bit less than 6 months, but still, that's about 6 months ahead of time. Masha Enkein, if it's a Steha Ilan, if it's an orchard, so then the Isser Charisha starts out at Tzeres, it starts on Shavuos. Also, a significant amount of time prior to the Shemitah year. Okay, that's the short version of the Mishnah we saw together in Shviyas, which means already that, right, 4 months prior to Shemitah year, already there's going to be an Isser of being Choresh. On that, what do we learn? So, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. So we're going to pick it up right in the middle of Gimel Amud Beis as the Gemara goes on to discuss this Mishnah in Shviyas. So you can find us right in the middle of Gimel Amud Beis, halfway down, immediately after the parentheses. So the Gemara says, "Ve'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Rabbi Gamliel Veis, Dino Nimno Ashne Prakim Halalu Ubitulum." So what Rabbi Gamliel did? Now Rabbi Gamliel is living years after Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Rabbi Gamliel is after Chorban Beis Hamikdash. So he says that the Amara Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that Rabbi Gamliel was mevatel. He repealed, meaning that there was a takana de Rabbana not to do Charisha well in advance of the Shemitah year, and that was instituted by Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and meanwhile, years later, it gets repealed. So, and presumably, what that means is that you're allowed to do Choresh up until Rosh Hashanah. So, Amalei Rebbe Zeru LeRebbe Abba V'Amalei Reish Lakish Rav Yochan Rami Gamliel V'Zino Heichi Matzim Avat LeTakanta De Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And so the Gemara says, now, from a systemic standpoint, you can't do that. You can't have a later Beis Din go ahead and repeal an earlier Beis Din. V'Hatanan, we learned in a Mishnah. And we already saw this in the beginning of Megillah. Now we're seeing it again, the beginning of Moed Katan. And that is in Beis Din Yachol Avato, Divrei Beis Din Chaver, Olem Kein Gadol Mimena, V'Chachma V'Minyan. The only way that a later Beis Din can repeal an earlier Beis Din is only if they're greater B'Chachma V'Minyan. And there is a considerable amount of discussion of what does that mean that they're greater B'Chachma, as well as what does it mean they're greater B'Minyan. For our purposes right now, we'll just give a simple pshat, not even a pshat. They have to be greater. The later Beis Din has to be greater in order to repeal an earlier Beis Din. And the Gemara's assumption is that Rebbe Gamliel and his Beis Din are not greater than that of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So if Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel made an institution, a takana, that one, or in this case, let's call it a takana, that one is not allowed to plow already well in advance of the Shemitah year, so how can Rebbe Gamliel go ahead and repeal it? It's a really basic question. So Ishamim Kishad Echadu, the question's so good that the first reaction to the question is silence. He didn't know what to answer. And then Amalei Emor Kach Hisnu Beinem Kol Aros Levato Yavo VeYavato. So then, but then he gave an answer, and the answer that he has is that, and presumably it's a Masorah, meaning you can't make this answer up. You can't create this answer, and that is that it was built into the Takana, meaning that you're right. Under normal circumstances, once Beis Din makes the Takana, so then you can't have a later Beis Din repeal it unless they're greater B'chachma V'minyan. However, if when Beis Din makes a takana, they allow a release in the takana. Built into the takana is an allowance that if at a later point in time, we will give permission for any Beis Din later to go ahead and to repeal it. If it's built into the takana, so then you can go ahead and you can repeal it. Now, you have to know this is the case, meaning you can't just simply suggest that this is what they did. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, so what comes out now is the following. So we just learned together that there is Tosefa Shvius. And that is that already by Pesach and by Shavuos, so there's an Isser Charisha for a grain field and for an orchard, respectively. And this was a takana that was instituted by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, later to be repealed by the Beis Din of Rabbi Gamliel. This is what the Gemara says that we are addressing over here when we're talking about the Tosefas. To which the Gemara says, did who he, halacha Moshe Mitzinahi. So the Gemara says, now again, we are assuming going into this entire discussion that Tosefes is all a Takana de Rabbanan. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? It's not a Takana de Rabbanan. It is a Din de Oraisa. So we've seen this multiple times throughout Shas. We saw this back in Sukkah. We saw it in Tanis as well. We're seeing it again here in Moed Katan. Okay, so we've seen this already numerous times. The Hamar Rabbi Yosi, I'm sorry, Had Hamar Rabbi Asi, Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechumya, each because Beis Chavra San Eser Netios Arava, Yisuchamay Malachal Moshe Mitzinai. three things which are halach l'moshe misinai, meaning they're dinei d'oraisa, just have no sourcing whatsoever within the Torah. So nisuch hamayim, we already discussed that length back in Sukkah. I'm not going to go over it now. Arava, that too we discussed back in length in Sukkah. We're not going to go over it now. And in quite frankly, the one of the halachas that the Gemara really wants us to focus on right now is the Eser Netios, the 10 saplings. So 10 saplings, meaning that they're young trees. They're not old trees. Okay, don't turn to me for a definition of what is a young tree. All right, in other words, but presumably it was just recently planted. And so when it comes to this young tree, so it needs more care and so therefore an allowance to go ahead and to continue working the land for these Eser Netios, for these 10 saplings. Now there's more details, and Rashi over here touches on it. Back in Sukkah, we did it in much greater detail. But the basic idea is that the 10 trees have to be planted within a certain configuration. And I'm not going to go through the details right now, but assuming that these 10 saplings are planted in a certain configuration, not only are you allowed to work on the trees up to Rosh Hashanah, but even on the land that's in between these trees as well. Assuming that the 10 trees are planted within a configuration. Okay, that's the basic idea. And all this is halacha l'moshe misinai, which means, of course, that this is not a takana d'rabbanan. This is a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact that right now, you're telling me that Tosefes Shviyos is a din d'rabbanan, which, parenthetically, by the way, was later repealed. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? It's a din d'oraisa. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. So Amar Yitzchak, Gemir Hilchasa Shoshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, so here's how we're going to understand it. It's actually layered one on top of another. Meaning, the din d'oraisa goes 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so at the beginning of Elul, so that's when the din d'oraisa kicks in. And so what happened was that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel came along and they made it even earlier. They added to the Tosefes. So there's already a Tosefes d'oraisa halacha l'moshe misinai going back 30 days. Then there's an additional Tosefes out the Takanos Chachamim to go back even earlier. Pesach, Shavuos, depending on what kind of field we're talking about. So and then also built into their takana is that if at a later point in time, for whatever reason, a later basin wants to go ahead and repeal, they have our permission to go ahead and repeal. But repeal, obviously, only the din d'rabbanan, meaning repealing only Shavuos and Pesach. But still, once you hit 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, you're now in the din d'oraisa, the halacha l'moshe misinai.
And
that's a great question. That's basically what the Gemara, right. In other words, that brings us all the way back to the beginning of the discussion. In terms of what I might have thought, right? Perfect. So and just to be clear, because I don't know if I was, but just to be clear, meaning within that 30-day window, so you can't work land in general, meaning min ha-Torah, except for the saplings. And again, if the saplings are planted within a certain configuration, 10 saplings within a certain area of land, so then not only can you work on the saplings, but you can also work on the land that's between the saplings as well. That's the halach l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says, v'hani hilchus aninu kray ninu. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So you're assuming right now that the idea that we have to be mosif on Shviyas is a din d'oraisa. But you're also telling me that it's 30 days and that's operating out halach l'moshe misinai, meaning we do not have a single reference to it in the Torah. The Gemara says, are you right about that? Meaning, I think that it's not only a din d'oraisa, I think it's a din d'oraisa that's written in the Torah. The Gemara says, how do I know that? Because d'itnan. We have the following. It's a Mishnah. Might be a brisa, whatever. So becharish v'katsir tishbos. So we are looking at a pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. Now, if you look at the pasuk in context, it sounds like the pasuk is describing Shabbos, not Shemitah. So now the question becomes the following. It says that on Shabbos, again, in context, it seems to be talking about Shabbos. On Shabbos, so you're not allowed to plow, and you're not allowed to harvest. Now, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Tzarech Lamer Charish V'Katzir Shal Shviyas Sharei Kvar Nehmer Sad Chalos Yisrael V'Chama Chalos Yizmor. So, Ela Charish Shal Eir Shviyas, and Shenichlan Shal Shviyas V'Katzir Shal Shviyas Shiyatza Lamotzei Shviyas. So, according to Rabbi Kiva, so there are two points of consideration. One, the Pasuk is not talking about Shabbos, the Pasuk is talking about Shemitah. Two, we already know by Shemitah that these activities are Asr, so therefore, what is this Pasuk coming to address? Not during Shemitah itself, but rather, Hosafa. The extension of Shemitah, meaning Tosefes Shviyas. Okay, so that is Shita's Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva looks at this pasuk in Parshas Kisisa and arrives at two conclusions. One, it's not talking about Shabbos, it's talking about Shemitah. Two, it's not talking about the Shemitah year itself. It's talking about the extensions before and after. That is Shitas Rabbi Akiva, which means now, according to Rabbi Akiva, the idea of Tosefes Shvi'is is not Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. It is actually a pasuk in the Torah.
Then you get Malkus.
And presumably, then, according to Rabbi Akiva, you'd be getting Malkus. That's correct. And Rabbi Yishmael Amar Macharish Rishos Af Kitzir Rishos Yatsa Kitzir Omer Shi Mitzvah. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, the pasuk is not talking about Shemitah. The pasuk is talking about Shabbos. Meaning, what the Torah is telling us is that I'm not allowed to harvest and I'm not allowed to plow. Now, but that's only Shel Rishos. Meaning, that's only when we're talking about the plowing and harvesting that has no mitzvah component to it. If, on the other hand, it has a mitzvah component to it. So when is harvesting going to have a mitzvah component to it? For example, Omer. So the Karban Omer, so which is offered on the second day of Pesach, if let's say, for example, the second day of Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, harvesting is done on Motzei Yontov Rishon, Erev the Karban Omer. If the Erev Karban Omer, let's say it's Friday night, meaning the second day of Pesach is a Shabbos, so that means to say now that it is Shabbos in which we would be harvesting. So of course, under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to harvest. That would be called a Malacha. However, if it's L'Shem Mitzvah, so then you're allowed to do it. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yishmael, the pasuk is in fact talking about on Shabbos itself. And the point is that for a Kitzira Shel Mitzvah, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Anyway, what comes out now is that the Machlokis Tanayim, how to understand that pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's referencing Tosefes Shvi'is. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it's not talking about Tosefes Shvi'is. So, now, it comes out that I have this Halach LaMoshe MiSinai Veser Netios, and according to Rabbi Akiva, what is that Halach LaMoshe MiSinai? Meaning it's not Halach LaMoshe MiSinai according to Rabbi Akiva, it's actually Kasa B'Torah. So, Ella, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ki Gemiri Hilchasa L'Mishra Yalada, Cry L'Mishra Zekena. So, the Gemara says, okay, here's what we're going to suggest, and that is that when we're talking about the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, that creates a heter for the saplings, for the yalada, for the young trees. And as far as the psukim are concerned, they're creating an iser for the older trees. To which the Gemara says, what? What? That seems to be unnecessary, superfluous. So lav mi meila, cry lamisra zakena. The cave of the lamisra yalada, lav mi meila zakena asira. The Gemara says, well, once I have a halacha Moshe MiSinai that allows me to work with the saplings up to Rosh Hashanah. So by definition, that means that under normal circumstances, it would be aser. So once the halacha Moshe MiSinai has to give me a heter, by definition, I already know that it's aser, and I don't need a pasuk. So Ela Hilchas Ela Rabbi Shmuel Karei LaRabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, okay, so basically it comes out like this. The halacha Moshe MiSinai that we saw, that brought down B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, so that is Lishitas Rabbi Shmuel, meaning according to Rabbi Shmuel and Echanami. We don't have a pasuk talking about Tosefes Shvi'is, so that means now that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would in fact be, the only way we would know about Tosefes Shvi'is is only via Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Akiva, I don't need the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Meaning for Rabbi Akiva, it's actually a drasha that we saw together in the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, and as a result of that, so therefore, it just simply, I guess you would say that he just simply doesn't subscribe to this particular halacha Moshe MiSinai. Okay. So that is all but approach number one. B'shem Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Yochanan Amar. Rav Yochanan would say like this. Rav Mingamilo Beis Dino mid araisa batalahu. Rav Yochanan attempts to suggest as follows. That mid araisa, that when Rav Mingamilo's Beis Din came along, so what were they mevatal? Up until this point in time, we suggested what they were mevatal was the takana that was made by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Aye, they're not a basin that's greater, b'chachma v'minyan. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's true they're not greater, but built into the takana was an ability to repeal. That's what we've been saying up until now. Rav Yochanan is going to suggest something which is slightly more radical, and that is that that Rabbi Gamliel was mevatel the din d'oraisa altogether, meaning the din tosefes, which is a din d'oraisa. Again, it's either deraisa via halach l'moshe MiSinai or it's deraisa via the drasha. So they're mevatel that the din d'oraisa. Now that obviously is a much more radical suggestion. How exactly does that work? So my time, gamma shabbos shabbos mishabbos brachos. So what they're going to suggest now is that they're going to learn it out through the following drasha, which is So when it comes to Shabbos Breishis, so what is Asar? Only the Shabbos itself, meaning immediately prior to Shabbos, it would be Mutter. So too, when it comes to the Shemitah year, so the Shemitah year itself is going to be Asar, immediately before, and immediately afterwards is going to be Mutter. So Maskev l'Ravashi, Manda Amar Hilchasa Asik Zer Shava Akra Hilchasa, Umanda Amar Kra Asik Zer Shava Akra Kra. So Ravashi says it can't be. It can't be. Meaning that we either have Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, or it's a drasha Gemara. Either way, you can't have a pasuk coming along later on and going ahead and uprooting something which is either Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim or a drasha Gemara. It simply doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says Ela Amar Ravashi. So Ravashi says Rabbi Gamliel based, you know, Sarvalak Rabbi Yishmael the Amar Hilchasa Gemira. So the Gemara says like this, according to Ravashi, so Rabbi Gamliel, together with his Beis Din, so they subscribe to Shitas Rabbi Yishmael. According to Rabbi Yishmael, so it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Remember, according to Rabbi Yishmael, so the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa is talking not about Shemitah, but rather it's talking about Shabbos itself, and the heter on Shabbos to be kosher l'shei mitzvah. So now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, we have no pasuk legabe Shemitah. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it is only now going to be halach l'moshe Mitzrayim. And so the Gemara says like this. So Rabbi Gamliel, based, you know, sarve like Rabbi Yishmael, d'amar hilchasa gemirla, v'chi gemir hilchasa b'zman shebeis ha-mikdash kayem. And what they do is they just simply limit the halach l'moshe Mitzrayim. Meaning the halach l'moshe Mitzrayim is true, that there is a din tosefes, but only when there's a beis ha-mikdash. Consider dum yedin nisach hamayim. It's actually no different than nisach hamayim. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then there would not be a din de araisa, not even halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, because again, look at it, meaning at the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, Ves HaNetios, it is lumped together with the mitzvah of Arava, together with the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. Both of those are only limited to when there's a Beis HaMikdash. Eser Netios is also only going to be limited to the time when there's a Beis HaMikdash. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, so now Eser Netios goes away. And by Eser Netios going away, that means effectively that Tosefish Shvius is going to go away as well. Okay, so when all said and done, that was a long distance to get to go back and now go and explain this Shita of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that I might have thought that you're going to get Malkus for Tosefis. Kamash Malan, you're not going to get Malkus for the Tosefis. And so now, after a full amud of discussion, the Gemara finally wraps his head around the idea of, what does that mean? It means that Tosefis is a din d'oraisa, meaning what we also know in the course of the discussion is that it's a din d'rabanan, meaning there's additional Tosefis that was added by the Chachamim. So, and that goes back to Pesach and Shavuos. And then it was later repealed by the Beis Din Rabbi Gamliel. But as far as the din d'oraisa is concerned, so 30 days prior to the Shemitah year, already now min ha-Torah, the halachas of Shemitah kick in. Now, how does it kick in min ha-Torah? So subject to a machlokas amongst the Tanaim, Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva, it's either going to be a drasha or it's going to be halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. And then what happens is that it's going to get repealed, meaning that Tosefis is going to get repealed. The Gemara gave a couple of suggestions of how we're going to be able to scale back an adin d'oraisa. That's a very difficult idea. That the Torah instructs us that we have to be mosif, and then at a later point in time, we don't have to be mosif. How does that work? So after a couple of suggestions, either it's a drasha, it's a gzereshava, but then ultimately the Gemara lands on the idea that no, it's not that it's scaled back, it's just simply limited. The limitation is that Eser Netios only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, there just simply is no halacha of Eser Netios, dumya l'nisuch hamayim, dumya la'arava. Right? Similar to those halachas, which are obviously only limited to when there's a Beis HaMikdash, same thing is going to be true over here when it comes to Eser Netios. It's going to be limited only to when there's a Beis HaMikdash. Adkan. That takes us to the end of really the first point of today's daf. Admittedly, a long and somewhat complicated portion of today's daf. Okay. We continue. Avalomi
Meg Shamu Meme Akila. Was there any Shemitah after the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah, presumably. Right. And this all goes back to yesterday's discussion in terms of whether or not Shemitah continues post Chorban min HaTorah midRabbanan. Right. Seemingly was a machlok between Abai and Rav of yesterday's daf. Okay. It's a good point. Okay. From this point going forward, okay, so irrigation canals, waterworks. a bunch of discussion that hopefully will somewhat understand. Again, the basic idea I get, the actual practical examples given in the Gemara. So you have to know how they watered their fields. I kind of know. Regardless, but the basic idea is as follows. So again, you're allowed to water your fields on Chol HaMoed. However, there has to be an element of pseda. It has to be that we're looking at real loss. If we don't water it, we're going to lose the actual value of the field or the growth on the field. So that's number one. That's why the watering is only limited based on shlachim. And the water source has to be an easy water source. If it at all poses any kind of real challenge, so that's what's called tircha yusera, and you're not allowed to do it. The Mishnah said very clearly, if it's a mayan, that's easy. So a mayan is a water source that doesn't stop. It's a spring. It's a water spring. And it's unending. And we don't have to worry about it being depleted. On the other hand, if it's mekilon, this is what we're up to in the Gemara. If it's mekilon or megishamim, that's not a good water source. So the Gemara immediately jumps on it. So bishlam mekilon ikatircha yisera. So mekilon I get. Now it would help all of us if we knew what a mekilon is. So from Rashi, I get that a mekilon is something where the water is there, but first of all, it's a finite amount of water. It's a pit, and on top of that, the water is really low. So in other words, what you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to drop a bucket down in there, or somehow get the water from the low area, and you have to get it up. So it's a tircha yisera. It's too much labor. So the Gemara says, "So fine." So the mekilon, I totally understand as being tircha yisera, and immediately I get it. Here's the part where I'm grappling with megishamim, rainwater. If it's collected rainwater, so what's the big deal? So ela megishamim my tircha ika. So the Gemara gives two approaches to this answer, to this question. Rabbi Yelai, Rabbi Yochanan Gzera, megishamim atu mekilon. Okay, look, you're right. The megishamim in of itself is not tircha yisera. However, you're going to start drawing water from the megishamim, you're going to end up drawing water from the mekilon. They're very similar to one another. They're both the repositories of water. They both do not have this continual water source. And once I start watering from the megishamim, I'm going to end up watering from the mekilon. Okay, so it's a gzera. Okay, you have to think about this in terms of gzera. We're talking about gzera. Yeah, we're talking about gzera for what? For possibly doing a malacha on Chol HaMoed. Okay, and I guess it really touches on when you do a malacha on Chol HaMoed, are you violating an issa d'oraisa? Okay, so it requires a lot more thought. But that's the shita of Rav Yochanan. So Rav Ashi, Amar Megishamim Gufay Lidei Mekilon Asu. So Rav Ashi says, no, you don't have to be that fancy. Meaning it's not gzera atu, but rather, what's going to happen when you start using the water from the Megishamim? It actually will become a Mekilon. Meaning again, the Megishamim right now is a pit. It is a finite repository of water. So when you could first draw from it, it's easy. But then obviously what's going to happen is that the water level is going to go down to the point now where the Megishamim is going to become a Mekilon. So it's now, if I start using this water source, I'm going to end up using the other water source. This water source in of itself is going to become Mekilon. And the Gemara points out, v'kamiflagi b'de Rabbi Zera, and this debate actually is also going to be within a statement made by Rabbi Zera. Da'amar Rabbi Zera, amar Rabba bar Yirmi, amar Shmuel, naharos amoshchim, mayim, min ha'agamim. So let's say I have a river, but where is it sourcing its water from? So it's sourcing its water from a swamp. So mutal ashkos mayim b'chol shamoed. And so what you're allowed to do is that you're allowed to go ahead and use this water source for irrigation. Meaning on one hand, it's not a mayan. It's not this unending water source. On the other hand, it is flowing water. It just happens to be coming from a finite body of water. Oh, okay, so, Mar Yisleh de Rabbi Zera, Mar Yisleh de Rabbi Zera. And so the Gemara points out that these two pshatim that we just offered, the pshat of Rav Yochanan versus the pshat of Rav Ashi, is going to be really dependent on whether or not we are concerned about this statement to Rabbi, whether we subscribe to Rabbi Zera, we don't subscribe to Rabbi Zera. Meaning from Rabbi Zera's standpoint, I have flowing water, but its source is a finite water source. Rabbi Zera is comfortable with that. Eventually, what's going to end up happening is that it's going to deplete. But right now, it's in good shape. So therefore, we don't have to worry about the future. So if I subscribe to Rabbi Zera, so presumably, that goes more in lines with the Shita of Yochanan. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not worried about this particular water source, but it may end up using a different water source. That's Gzera. On the other hand, Rav Ashi seems not to subscribe to the Shita Rabbi Zera. Because what Rav Ashi is showing us is that I'm worried about this particular water source, meaning if this water source, it can in fact become depleted, i.e. it's coming from a finite body of water, so then I'm worried about this particular water source. No different than it starts off as a mega shaman, but then it ends up becoming a mekilon. It's okay, fine. So whether or which pshat I'm going to be offering in our Mishnah is really contingent on whether I subscribe to Rabbi Zera or I don't subscribe to Rabbi Zera. The Gemara continues with this statement to Rabbi Zera. Gufa. I'm Rabbi Zera, I'm a Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah, I'm a Shmuel, now it's a Moshe Mayim Min HaGamim. So I do have a river, but it's flowing from a finite body of water. So Mutal Ashkot Mehem B'chol Shemot, you can use it to irrigate the field. So Ezra, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera, V'lomi Meg Shemim, V'lomi Mekilon. So in the Mishnah, it says you're not allowed to use rainwater. You're not allowed to use the Kilon. Again, another collected body of water. So I'm Alei Yirmiyah Berei, Hani HaGamim Debava Kamayi, Delo Paskim Damu. So he says, no, you misunderstood. When we're talking about the swamps of Bavel, so it's like a unending reservoir of water, meaning we're not going to treat it like a finite body of water. And again, this is where I get a little bit lost, meaning what does that mean? It means that despite the fact that it is a body of water, but nevertheless, in Bavel, for reasons which I can't really articulately explain, it continuously regenerates. Yeah, okay. It could be. That's what the Gemara is describing over there. I'm unsure. Tan Rabbanan. Hapsikos v'abrechus nesmal amayim erev yantavasol ashkos mehem b'chol shomoed. So, if you have these various depositories of water, a psika or a brecha, and water was filled with it, and even though it was filled even before yantav, still I can't use an echol amoed. However, v'im haisa amasmayim over in b'nei amotar. If I, however, have some sort of canal running through it, so then it would be motar. So Amra Papa Vahushu Ruba Shaloso Sada Shosame Oso Amas Mayim. Now, it's being fed by a canal. So is that going to be enough to allow? So it depends who you ask. If you ask Rav Papa, so yes, but it has to be that the canal that's supplying this body of water is providing so much water that the water of the canal in of itself is sufficient for the entire field. Then and only then am I allowed to use this body of water. And Rav Ashi Amar Afa Pishein Ruba Shalosu Sada Shosa. Kevin Tekam Mashka Vasya Meima Amar Ilo Shasya Lechad Yuma Tishte Letre Vatasa Yuma. And Rav Ashi is a little bit more relaxed about this. Even if the canal itself supplying this body of water, even if the canal itself is not providing enough water for in 1 day's time, it's enough. In other words, the fact of the matter is that it could be spaced out 2 days, 3 days, right? Cholamot is almost a week. So according to Rav Ashi, he's more relaxed with this idea that as long as I have some canal providing water to this repository, so then it would be okay, even if there's not enough in the canal to go ahead and feed the field in the course of 1 day. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues along this discussion. If I have, now the way Rashi describes it over here, I have basically two fields, one above the other field. And what happens is that when I irrigate the upper field, there's a runoff. And now the runoff, can I take the water of the runoff in order to supply water to another field? That's the discussion over here. Now again, which water can I use to go in here ahead and irrigate? Only ma'ayan, only unending water, right? Some sort of spring. And so the question over here becomes the following. Can I take the runoff of one field in order to go ahead and irrigate the other field? That's the discussion. So again, brechus and tefes mayim misad de bezer shlachim zu mutal ashkos mimena misad de bezer shlachim acheres. Okay, so the Gemara starts off with a brisa, and the brisa's response is very simple. Yeah, you can. You can take the runoff of one field in order to irrigate a second field on Chol HaMoed. V'ha avida de paska. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We're no longer talking about using the water directly from the spring. We're only talking about using the runoff water. The runoff water is not unlimited, it's limited. So the Gemara says, didn't we learn together that you're not allowed to use any water source that is a limited in nature? So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yirmiyah, v'dai nima taf tefes. So Rav Yirmiyah says, no, it's still dripping. Meaning that right now, it seems to be unlimited. I'm Rabbi v'hu shel pasuk mayan rishon. And Abaye says, no, as long as the original water that is providing for the upper field is still running, so then you could use the runoff because the runoff is going to still be viewed as a unlimited supply of water. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Manasseh Omer Shtei Arugos Zula Malamizu Lo Yad Let Min HaTachton of Yashkes Al Yona. So what you can't do is that you can't take water from the lower in order to supply the upper. Why? So Rashi explains over here, because Tircha Yaseira, that's just too much work. In other words, now you're fighting against gravity, and you can't do that. Yosef Ken Amar Rabbi Elazar Ben Shimon Afilo Arugos Achas Chetzi Anamuch VeChetzi Gavoa Lo Yid Lami Makam Namuch VeYishkel Makam Gavoa. The one step further is taken by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, even if it's the same field, but different elevations. You have a lower elevation, a higher elevation. And right now, the water is headed, channeled to the lower elevation. Even though it's same field, you still can't go ahead and take the water from the lower elevation to the higher elevation, because once again, that's Tircha Yisera. I would be a Hefseid. So again, we go back to what we learned in day one of our Masechta. Hefseid is Mutter, but you have to take into consideration it's only Mutter if it's not a Tircha Yisera. But once it's Tircha Yisera, despite the fact that it's going to be a Hefseid, so then you can't do it. What about watering your vegetable patch on Chol HaMoed? It depends. If it's for achila, meaning that if I don't water, I'm going to lose the vegetable, so then that would be mutter. If, however, it's only liyafosan, meaning there's no, we're not talking about loss over here. We're simply describing where it would improve it, make it a little bit bigger, make it a little bit nicer. So then no, because that's harvacha, and that is not allowed in Chol HaMoed. Ravina v'rabba tusfa v'kazla be'orcha havehau lahu garva d'havi dali davla b'chol demoada. So the Gemara tells the following story. Ravina and Rabba are traveling on Chol HaMoed, and they see a guy, and he's watering his vegetable garden on Chol HaMoed. So amale rabba tusfa l'ravina leisei mar l'shamtei. So Rabba says to Ravina, okay, so it seems like this is now a perfect time to put this person in chayrim. He's violating Chol HaMoed. Okay, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos describes in very strong terms about somebody who is mevazeh Chol HaMoed. So this person is being mevazeh Chol HaMoed. So we should put him in chayrim. Obviously there are more details here that we're not privy to, but you're right. So I'm a leva. I tell you, madlin liyarakus kedel ochlan. So the response is, wait 1 second. Meaning, didn't we just learn the brisa together? I mean, we just learned the brisa together, but they're holding by the brisa, and so the response is, what do you mean? Madlin liyarakus kedel ochlan. If your vegetable patch, you're watering it because you're going to eat the vegetables on Chol HaMoed or for the second days of Yantiv, so then it would be mutter. So were you going to put him in chayim for doing something which the brisa says is mutter? So me, so I was my madlin maya. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood the brisa. You think the word madlin means to water. Now, the word madlin literally means to lift up or to raise. But we're assuming that it means to raise a bucket of water in order to water the vegetable patch. That's what you think Pshat in the Braisa is. Okay, so let me correct you as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis. So madlin, shalufei. So Nigi says, no, the word madlin over here actually means that you're allowed to pick some of the vegetables. Shalufei, Rashi, kishay harakus ritzufim, noto mehem mebein time la'ochlan, mutaliyafosam, aser bishvuliyafosam, osam shinisharim. So what happens now is that there are a lot of vegetables in the patch right now, and quite frankly, there's not enough room now for proper growth. So, can I pick the vegetables? Depends, talui. If I'm only picking the vegetables because I'm currently want to eat it, that's fine. If I'm picking the vegetables in order to make room for additional growth, so that's also that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. That's what the Braisa meant. The Braisa was not describing or discussing watering at all, but rather the Braisa was just simply discussing going ahead and picking the vegetables. The word madlin actually means to lift off the vegetables, because there's just simply an overgrowth of vegetables. That's pshat in the brisa, and kedanan, and the Gemara says, and this pshat in the brisa actually it's precedented. I'll show you Mishnah Peah. Hamedal b'kfanim k'shem shu medal b'shalo kachu medal b'shel aniyim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Meir Omer b'shalo rashai v'en rashai b'shel aniyim. So the Mishnah Peah talks about now where you have this overabundance of vegetables, In this case, we're talking about a vineyard. So, he's plucking out some of the grapes in order to create more room so that there would be better growth. Question. It's such a good question also. I could do that on my field, obviously. But what about the portion that's set aside for the aniyim? Let's say, for example, peah. Rashi gives a couple of examples. Ololos peah. Let's say peah, for example. So that's the corner that's set aside for the ani. It's such a good question. Meaning, am I now allowed to tend to the portion that belongs to the ani? On one hand, I'm helping the field. In other words, I'm creating more room for more growth. On the other hand, I am taking away grapes. So am I allowed to do that? So it's a machlok. It belongs to the aniyim right now. It's the chelik of the aniyim. So am I entitled now to take, considering the fact that I'm looking to improve, on the other hand, I'm actually taking. Okay, good. So what it becomes now, it's a machlok. It's a machlok. It's amongst the Tanaim. Bishin Rav Yehud and Rameir. The only reason why we're quoting the Mishnah in Peah is because of the word that's used. Hamedal bigafanim. Where clearly in context what it means is that I'm plucking out grapes. So now I go back to the previous brisa. That's the pshat in the previous brisa. Medal does not mean watering. You're not allowed to water the vegetable patch on Chol HaMoed. It means that if there's an overabundance and you want to pick out some of the vegetables, so are you allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed? Depends. If I'm going to eat whatever I pick, good. If I'm just picking to improve the current situation, no good. You can't do that on Chol HaMoed. So good. So his response is, good. I'm so happy to hear your pshat in that brisa. I want you to know, I think you're wrong. And I think you're wrong because I happen to have another brisa. And my brisa says, madlim mayim liyarakas kedei la'ochlan. Oh, so in my brisa, in my version of the brisa, there's no room for ambiguity. It says the word mayim. So I'm going to lay tanya tanya. The Gemara says, okay, at that point in time, what can I tell you? And if you have a brisa that says the word mayim, okay, I can't argue with. If you just have the word madlin, I'm going to insist that my pshat is correct. But once you have a brisa using the word mayim, at that point in time, I stand corrected. Okay, so a lot of discussion in the Gemara for most of today's daf, starting in the middle of Dalam and Aleph, going all the way to where we are right now, in terms of is one in fact allowed to irrigate a field using a finite body of water? What if the finite body of water is being supplied by other water sources? So a lot of detailed discussion, like I promised in the beginning of today's daf, a lot of detailed discussions regarding the limits and the abilities of watering a field on Chol HaMoed, up to and including the last halacha we just did in terms of watering a vegetable patch. Seemingly the pshat that is accepted in the Gemara is that as long as we plan on eating those vegetables on Chol HaMoed itself, so then watering the patch on Chol HaMoed, presumably even from a finite body of water, would be okay. Well, let's do a little bit more this morning. So, ve'ein osin ugios ligafanim. One is not allowed to make ugios for your vineyard. Question, ugios, what is that? In modern Hebrew, an uga is a cookie. Okay, obviously, we're not describing cookies over here. So, what is it a reference to? So, my ugios, Gemara's question. I'm Rav Yehuda Banke. So, Rav Yehuda gives up shot, and he says that ugios is a reference to Banke. Now, that'd be great for the people who understand the word banki. What about the rest of us? So Rashi over here writes, banki are boros tachas ha-kafanim v'zesim v'nosim mayim. So basically what they are small little ditches right around the vineyard and right around the olive tree. And what you do with those little ditches is you fill them with water. So they become like these like little reservoirs of water that surround the vineyards. So Tanya namihachi Eloheinu gios bididin shibikari zesim u'shibikari kafanim. So in the Braisa, exactly this. Elohe Nugios, what are Ugios there? Badi Din. So I guess that is another way to describe what Rav Yehuda describes as Banki. Again, there's these small little pools of water that are dug around the roots of the vineyard and the roots of the olive tree. Ini Vahar Rav Yehuda, Sharulev Nebit Sisai, Lamevit Banki Lekarmehem. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Rav Yehuda allowed members of his community to go ahead and make these little ditches. So you're telling me the pshat in the Mishnah of ein osin ugios is a reference to the ditches. The Mishnah says ein osin. You're not allowed to do it. And meanwhile, Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, lo kasha habechadati habetike. So the Gemara says, depends. If we're talking about brand new ditches that have never been done before, so that you're not allowed to do. So that involves Rashi, the way Rashi describes it, a tircha yisera. That's just simply too much work to be done in Chol HaMoed. So now that you're not allowed to do. If, however, the ditches were already dug and they just simply got stuffed up a little bit and you're just dredging them out a little bit, so that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. That does not involve a tircha yisera. Okay, let's pause over here. Let's leave the amas amayim for tomorrow. Am I allowed to make a canal on Chol HaMoed and during the Shemitah year? Okay, stay tuned. We are going to be discussing that tomorrow in terms of the making of a canal. Quick recap of today's daf. First part of today's daf, a continuation, conclusion of yesterday. Tosefis is usher. If I violate Tosefis, I might have thought to get Malkus. You're not going to get Malkus. That's the price of Rav Dimi as understood by Rav Yochanan. What is Tosefis Shvius? A long discussion started yesterday, ended today, in terms of what Tosefis is. There is a Tosefis of a Din D'Oraisa, either based on a drasha or based on Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. There is an additional Tosefis that was enacted by the Chachamim, by Beishama and Beisilo, later repealed. How could the later Beisim repeal it? Gemara has an answer. Normally you can't repeal. In this case, you could. Anyway, so one might have thought that if one were to do Malacha during the Tosefis D'Oraisa, one's going to be subject to Malkus. You're not going to get Malkus. Why are you not going to get Malkus? So to make a long Gemara much shorter, just bring it to its conclusion. So Eser Netios, despite the fact that Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is only limited to when there's a Beis HaMikdash. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, so much like Nisa Chamayim and Arava goes away once there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, so too does this Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim of Eser Netios. That's the Gemara's conclusion. That's Rav Ashi's conclusion. That took us all the way to Dal Amud Aleph. And then on Dal Amud Aleph, a lot of detailed discussion regarding water sources and which water sources you can use to irrigate your Beis HaShlachim and what you cannot. The basic idea is Tircha Yesera. If it involves too much Tircha, so then you can't do that. Using Megisham and Mekilon, you cannot do. Mekilon, totally understand. It's a water source where the water is nice and low and well below ground level. And it's going to require work to get to it. So that I cannot use. That would be Tircha Yesera. What about Megishamim? Okay, so the Gemara there had a lengthier discussion regarding why I cannot use Megishamim. Either because Atu, it's going to be Gzera Derabanan. If I end up using Megishamim, I'm going to come to use Mekilon. Or the other way to say it is that the Megishamim will become a Mekilon. So two different ways to say it. The Gemara discussed it in somewhat more detail. Water sources that are finite but are being supplied by canals. Is that going to be acceptable? A discussion that was had on the bottom of Dal Amud Aleph, taking us all the way to the top of Dal Amud Beis. Am I allowed to water a vegetable patch if I plan on eating those vegetables on Chol HaMoed? Seemingly a discussion in the Gemara. It sounds from the Braisa that it's mutter. On the other hand, there is an alternative way to read the Braisa, but the Gemara insists, however, that the original way of reading the Braisa is correct, meaning that it would in fact be mutter to go ahead and water vegetable patch. And finally, the making of ugios, which are usar on Chol HaMoed. So we learned that that's making small little ditches around the vineyard and the olive tree. So in order to create small little pools of water around, so that the making of the ditches you're not allowed to do. I, Rav Yehuda, says you're allowed to do it. No, that was talking about where the ditches were already made, and all you're doing is just simply dredging them up a little bit more.